I wish I could convince people to pray. I've tried so hard over the years, I really have, in private conversations with friends and family members and church members on the phone and conversations and from the pulpit. I've tried so hard to convince people to pray, and I feel like I've been a failure. I don't know if anybody's ever ended up praying because of a sermon I've done or a conversation. Usually people politely listen and then they change the subject or they shake their heads in agreement and that's about the end of that. There's just not a lot of excitement about praying out there. And my brother in his church, every Sunday morning, they have 30 minutes of coffee and donuts and juice. This is very well attended. And everybody, a lot of people come out for this, you can imagine. And 10 minutes before that, they have a time of prayer. Would it surprise you to know that very few people come to the time of prayer? Now, a lot of people come to the coffee and donuts, but very few people come to the prayer time. And I'm not picking on this church because I really believe about every church that had the same thing, the same result would be. Because people don't get excited about praying. Now, they're not going to tell you. Now, let me just clarify one thing here. I'm not talking about people that are not Christians. I'm talking about Christians, people that believe in Jesus Christ. But you never hear excitement about prayer. You never hear people say, I just can't wait to get home and pray. You never have people getting out of bed in the morning saying, I just got to get up. I've got to pray. Christians never tell you why they don't pray. Because if they did, it would make them sound unspiritual. So I've come up with a couple reasons why I believe people don't pray. One reason is prayer doesn't seem to work. Most people have tried praying at some point. Maybe it was a quick prayer when they needed help. Or maybe they prayed every day for something for a whole week or for a whole month, and then they gave up because nothing happened. So they believe in their heart of hearts that prayer really doesn't work that well. So you can see why some Christians aren't going to take much time to pray. Another reason is it doesn't fit their lifestyle. Now, in the world of Alexa, does anybody have Alexa in your house? In the world of Alexa, the computer voice, you can talk to her and she will tell you what time it is. You can ask her mileage. You can ask her weather. You can get temperature for the day. And you can ask her all kinds of questions about all kinds of things in life. Alexa has a lot of answers. And then there's Google. And then there's texting. I mean, if you get a real issue going on, just text your friend, text your neighbor, text your family member. And you can get an answer just like that. Do you remember years ago? I'm gonna really go back. Cody, this was even before you, buddy. This is way back there now. Okay. I'm going to go back. Do you remember when microwaves first came on the market? And this was a really big thing. And in our house growing up, we got a microwave, and it was a big deal to get a microwave, and everybody was bragging about microwaves. But there were always the anti-microwavers. Was anybody an anti-microwaver? I don't need a microwave. I don't need a microwave. Don't get me a microwave. I don't need a microwave. They were out there. I know that because my grandma, who cooked everything from scratch, was a great cook. She was an anti-microwaver. And she would always tell everybody, do not get me a microwave. I do not need a microwave. Well, I'll never forget the Christmas mom and dad decided to get her a microwave. So she opened it up, saw the microwave, was like, okay. She was gracious, yeah, thanks a lot for the microwave, you know, but she, you could tell she wasn't real thrilled about it, but you'd never believe that she started using that microwave. Never to cook, mind you. She found out, after repeated efforts, after she tried it over and over and over, she found out that microwave did have some value. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a house today that doesn't have a microwave. And in fact, I would say most people use their microwaves to cook. But it's all about changing lifestyles. My grandma did not want to change her lifestyle. She had her way of cooking. She had her way of doing things. And she wasn't going to change. And don't get me a microwave, because I'm not going to change how I do it. And that's the way most people are. For a person to take time to do something, they have to really believe it works. So when I'm talking about prayer, sometimes people really just don't believe it. It just doesn't work. So let me be clear here. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm really not, for not praying. And I'm not saying that I'm an amazing man of prayer, because I'm not. I mean, I pray every day, but I can tell you I haven't mastered prayer. I wish I could do better, but I can tell you this without any doubt. Prayer does work. And I don't see how you can have a deep, close, abiding relationship with the Lord without prayer. I just finished a great book on prayer, and I found it very helpful. And it's called Prayer, the Great Adventure by David Jeremiah. Now, I will warn you, this is a very old book, and it's probably out of date. But I like his approach to prayer and to the teaching about prayer. So you remember when we studied the book of Mark, Jesus prayed, and he prayed all night at times. He didn't just teach on prayer. He lived prayer, and the disciples saw him praying, and they wanted to learn how to pray. So when Jesus taught on prayer, they paid attention. Jesus taught on prayer two times in the Sermon on the Mount. He taught what we know as the Lord's Prayer, and then he returns again to the topic in Matthew chapter 7. So I invite you to turn with me to Matthew 7, and I'm going to be reading verses 7 through down to verse 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus is inviting his disciples to pray. He tells them very simply, ask, and it will be given to them. Five times in this passage, he says, ask. He doesn't say, beg. He says, just ask. Now that sounds so simple, doesn't it? But this in itself is a problem. How often do people really go to God? Jesus said, everyone who asks receives. Now people may ask for prayer from a Christian friend, will you pray for me? Or they may mention it on Sunday morning in worship, please pray for this situation. But when there's a real need in a person's life, where do they go first? Usually they go to their spouse, don't they? Or they go to their parent, or they go to their brother or their sister or their best friend. Why do they go to them before God, the creator of the universe? Here Jesus is simply inviting people to ask. When you have a need, just ask, is what Jesus says. So let me give you a couple simple truths. They're very simple, but I think they're very profound. The first truth is, God wants to hear from you. Now, so those of you who are grandparents, which is most everybody in here, not everybody, do your grandchildren, have they have a hard time asking for things from you? Nope. How about when your children were small? This is Cody now. Do your children ever have a hard time asking for things? No, they just ask. And they won't ask just once, right? They'll ask repeatedly. They'll keep on asking. That's what a child does. Jesus is inviting his followers to ask, and if they do it, it will be given to them. He wants us to ask. He wants to hear from us because he wants a relationship with us. He wants us to talk with him about what we need. Now, Jesus gives three different verbs here to describe how we come to him with our needs. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. Three verbs, they're all imperatives. They all increase with intensity. Not only that, they are commands. Jesus isn't saying, look, I know you're busy. I know you got lots of stuff going on in your life. I know you've got work, and I know you've got family obligations. I know you got your friendship, and I know you got to catch up on social media. I know you need at least an hour for that every day, or an hour in the morning, or out, not however long it is. Well, I know you're really busy, but if you have a little time, like maybe 2 minutes or 5 minutes, would you mind just saying a little prayer to me? And no, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is commanding us to pray. Jesus says, ask. So we ask. And we go to Him with a request, and we present it to Him, and we ask repeatedly, and nothing happens. What then? Jesus says, to seek. We are to go to the one that we are asking to. Have you noticed today that you can't hardly talk to a real person on the phone anymore? I know, it drives you crazy, doesn't it? And you're stuck with some answering service. You call this number, and you got to push the number for the right department, and then you got to wait, and then they say your wait time will be 15 minutes or whatever it is. And would you like to listen to music? Press 1. If not, press 2. They're so used to making people wait, but it takes a long time to finally get to talk to a real person. And if it's important, then you start wanting to know about this company that you're trying to contact, right? You want to find out who they are. Who is this person that I need to call, that I have this bill with, or whatever it is? You start investigating. That's what we do with God. Not only do we ask Him, but we learn about Him. We get to know Him. We seek His help by learning about Him. And then Jesus says to knock. So what happens when you try to get a company and you try to get them on the phone and you can't hardly talk to a real person, or if you get a person that doesn't really know what... Have you ever talked to somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about? Yeah, I guess... Oh, yes, not speaking English. So the next thing you have to do, if they're close by, you go to the business. Have you ever gone to the business? I know somebody, a Christian. She could not get a medical billing resolved, so she had to actually drive to the hospital and talk to the person at the desk in that department to get it resolved. Well, this is the new America that we're in right now. But it illustrates prayer. God wants to hear from us. He wants us to ask. He wants us to seek. And He wants us to come to Him personally. What does Jesus say will happen if we ask, if we seek, if we knock? Verse 8, everyone who asks receives. Everyone. Not just pastors, not just Christian workers, not just elders, not just deacons, but everyone who really seeks. Everyone who knows Him. Everyone who truly wants to know Him will be answered. Every Christian is promised to be heard if they're really seeking, no matter who they are. And here's the amazing thing. No matter how old they are, a small child is going to be heard by God if they pray. I remember growing up, I used to have sleepovers. Remember those days? You had sleepovers and you had your friend growing up and they wanted to sleep at your house. And I remember one friend, I didn't really want to spend the night, but he came to me one day and he said, can I spend the night at your house? And then he said, can you ask your mom if I could spend the night? And I thought to myself, if I want you to spend the night, I will ask myself. I'm not asking for you. Well, God wants to hear from us personally. It's good to ask other people to pray for us. But prayer requires our personal involvement. We have to go to God ourselves first before we ask others. God wants to hear from you. He loves you. Now, the fact that God wants to hear from me is enough to make me want to pray. But there's more. The second truth, God delights in meeting our needs. After teaching on asking and seeking and knocking, Jesus uses this illustration. Jesus says, what father would give a stone to his son who asked for bread? Do you remember when Jesus was being tempted in the desert? And the devil says, turn these stones into bread. Why bread? Why not a steak? Apparently, the, the stones in Palestine looked like loaves of bread. Jesus continues, or if he asked for a fish, what father would give him a snake? They would pull up their nets, and mixed in with the fish was an eel-like snake. Now it's hard for me to imagine a father who could be so mean when their child asked for bread, it would give him a stone. Or it would be so mean who asked for a fish would give him a snake. No, a great majority of fathers, not just Christians, are good to their children. Parents love their children. That's how God made us. We love our children. We want to hear from our children. I don't want to miss a single phone call from my daughter. If she has called and I've missed it, I feel bad that I've missed her call. And when a child asks for something, it doesn't matter what age they are, if they ask for something for us and we see it's a real need and it's something we can provide, we want to give it to them, don't we? Jesus is saying when you go to God in prayer, He is delighted to hear from us. He wants to provide for our needs. Now, where did we get this idea that God is somehow reluctant to answer us? Now, maybe your father wasn't a nice father. Maybe your father was cruel, and maybe your father was selfish. Don't put that on God. No, God wants to meet our needs. He's perfectly patient. He's perfectly loving. He's perfectly kind. He's also perfectly holy. Look at this scripture here. This is from James chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. See, one of the problems is when people pray, they're selfish. And they end up asking for a snake, or they end up asking for a stone. People ask for some very silly things when they pray. People have actually prayed for characters of a TV reality show. Now, I know we're going to hit close to home on this one, Smokey. They have prayed for their favorite sports team. People have gone to a casino and prayed that they would strike it rich. People have asked God to do sinful things. They have prayed that someone might leave their spouse so they can have a relationship with them. They've asked God to harm somebody that they didn't like. My friends, if it's against God's word, it's against His will. And if we're praying about such things, we're wasting our breath. David Jeremiah said it this way, if you're living like the devil, don't suppose you can pray to God and He will give you whatever you want. Makes sense to me. See, when I know that God wants to hear from me, and when I know that He delights in meeting my needs, I want to pray to Him. Now, to be fair, prayer can be a real challenge. We somehow think I just have to pray about something one time, and I'm going to get an answer. Kind of like a Hail Mary pass. We've tried everything else. Maybe I should pray, and it will work, but on some things, we have to pray continually, and we have to keep on seeking, and we have to keep on asking, and we have to keep on knocking, and that's what we're commanded to do. And sometimes there's seemingly no answer, but God still wants us to pray, because prayer changes us. The more I pray about something, the more it changes my heart. The more my perspective changes. Prayer teaches me patience. It reveals my weaknesses. Prayer really does work, and Jesus promises to answer, and He always does. And I've thought about my own personal prayer time over the years. There's been so many times that I've prayed about something, and I thought it was something that I needed. And the answer was no. And I was disappointed at the time. But later, I was glad He did, because He ended up giving me something better. He gave me something better than what I was asking for. And all these years as a Christian, I'm still learning how to pray. And I'm still learning how to trust. And I wish I could convince people to pray. I wish I could convince people to have a daily relationship with the Lord. I haven't given up on that idea. And I realize I can't change people. But I know God can change hearts. And that's my daily prayer for each of you. That you will talk to God every day. That you will have a daily relationship with you. And if you do, He will bless every area of your life. Now maybe someone will say, well, I want to pray. But how do I pray? What happens when I pray and nothing seems to happen? And I know God wants to hear from me, but what about if I run out of things to pray about? How do I pray for these things? And what if I have to pray for something over and over? How do I do that? So today, I want to ask you to go with me in the next couple months on an adventure with God in prayer. It doesn't matter how new you are to the faith, and it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, this is something we have to get right. It's something, and listen to this now. You might have been praying a long time in your life, but you can always improve. And if you do this, if you will go with me in this journey of prayer, and we all do it together, God is going to bless your life. God is going to bless this church. And you will be surprised what God has done. A couple months ago, I felt led to pick up an old book that I had never read before, but I thought it would be worth it. It's the Christian classic called The Cross and the Switchblade. And I'm glad I did, because it's a true story about a preacher named David and his wife Rose. And he was ministering at a small country church in Pennsylvania. And one night, it was late at night, he was about ready to turn on the television, and he saw, and there was a Time magazine next to him. And he started flipping through it, and he saw a picture in that magazine, and he just couldn't get it out of his mind. And I've got that picture right here. He just could not get it. It was seven gang members from New York who had murdered a boy. And he tried to get this image out of his mind, and it just wouldn't work. And he felt like God, instead of watching TV, was asking him to pray about this situation. So he started praying. And after praying, he felt like God was calling him to go to New York and preach and help these gang members. And the whole book is a great book about a preacher praying to God and trusting His leading. And he started a ministry to gangs in New York in 1958. It started and it continued on with prayer. Now, do you realize that this ministry has touched us right here in Girard? Because the man who started this ministry was David Wilkerson, and he founded Teen Challenge. And they started spreading chapters all across New York, all across the country, to help people who struggled with addiction, and it's helped one of our own, Chandler. Now the amazing thing is, think about this a second, this all started with a man praying in rural Pennsylvania. And it went to New York, and it went all across the country, and it came to us and touched us right here in Georgia. That's the power of prayer. So my challenge is that you will restart the journey of prayer. That this week you will make a concerted effort every day to pray to God to meet your needs. God wants to hear from you. He wants to guide your life. He's going to answer. He will give you what you ask for. He'll take care of your needs. He's not going to give you everything, but He will take care of you. But it's only going to work if we totally surrender to Him. So this week, will you take my challenge? Will you start this journey with me together? And every week, we're going to be picking it back up again, and I don't think you'll regret it if you start this week. Well, let's have our time of invitation. We're going to be singing Seek Ye First, the Kingdom of God. And we invite you, if you have a decision to make, just accept Jesus as your Savior, be obedient to Him, transfer your membership, whatever decision you want to have, we want to invite you to do that, or just commit yourself to praying. Let's all stand as we sing.